Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Continuing Through Truth Radio. This is Saturday Symposium with Dan Wilson. Dan and I are going to have some great discussion tonight. You know, we start out with common sense. And Dan, I know when you heard that startup song come up, you weren't expecting that. Well, maybe you kind of were. But I imagine you had a little bit of a chuckle. You know, common sense says it's time to move to Texas. And so we're getting out of California. We're moving Continuing Through Truth Radio to Texas. And we're excited about it. We've been playing that song around this household now all week. I think it's got more play than any song in the history of man this week, because we're really excited about this. We've been waiting a long time. We've been praying a lot for it, and we ask for your prayers as we continue this little trudge. It's probably going to take about 6 to 8 weeks to get this move fully instilled, looking at about 6 weeks, 7 weeks to heading to Texas and heading to Dallas. And with the exception of the snow that hits on the ground and some of those tornadoes, although I'm not as afraid of the tornadoes as I am driving in the snow, driving in the snow is a whole lot more dangerous. But we're excited about it. We'll play Red Skelton on the way out. How are you doing down there in Florida, Dan?
Oh, fantastic and beautiful down here. We finally broke the summer weather pattern, and it's nice and cool. And listening to the intro, I was ready to grab my rifle out for the rifleman or gun smoke. it's everything's going well. We're still hanging in there and still disgusted as hell with this darn shutdown of the government, especially, I'm not sure if you heard this one, the State Department ordered $50 million worth of wine glasses 2 days before they shut down the government. At the same time, the benefits for families of our fallen heroes was denied. So now we have 6,500 families who are not going to get any money, but the State Department's going to be doing some heavy drinking with all those wine glasses. So back to you.
That is insanity, Dan. That is insanity. $50 million in wine glasses our government is spending because they're inept. Now, you know, we know when we look at the government, we got lots of people there, and not everybody is always involved in everything, but somebody had to make that order. Somebody had to make that requisition. Somebody had to write the check for that. And, you know, I'm a firm believer, though, Dan, that it's stuff like that that's going to take us all the way in 2014. I want us to talk this morning, starting out about a big insanity that showed up this last week. Anybody that listens to this Blog Talk Network knows that I think Alabama rocks. But there is a tragedy that's happened in Alabama District 7. That's good, our good Congressman Mo Brooks's district down there, and we're going to be in contact with him soon. We're working on that right now. But I want to tell you a tragic story. A young boy, 15 years old, popular at school, did a dumb thing. I think it's a dumb thing. He decided in the middle of a football player, take off all his clothes and run across the field. It's a dumb thing, but he wasn't the first one to come up with it. Actually, I've admitted on Blog Talk Radio, I did that dumb thing when I was 21 years old down in downtown San Diego. Ran around the block butt naked. Dumb things. But like Jared Markham in his situation, and we covered Jared's story a lot on Blog Talk Radio on Tuesdays. You know, the education, our whole system is all messed up. What is supposed to happen is when there's a problem at school, the principal's supposed to get a hold of the parents. And they're supposed to work that problem out between the two. Now, if somebody's got drugs in their locker, that's a different story. If somebody shoots somebody, that's a different story. When a kid goes running across the field naked, the discipline should be at the home first and with the school. And I would not have expected the school to just let him get away with that. But what they did instead, just like the Jared Markham case, they called the police. And they had this 15-year-old kid arrested for a prank that's gone on for generations and generations and generations. And then they set it in motion. And once the kid started facing that, he started facing being put on that sex registry for the rest of his life. For the rest of his life. It gets worse, though. And here's where the principal's going to go down, and he's going to go down hard. Principal Michael Campbell, a new principal at the school, decided to go out on the news and explain in front of the whole wide world that this kid was facing some major consequences. And the next day, the kid committed suicide. He's dead. He's gone. All because of weak administration. Start with high school. Yesterday, I sent you an email. I hope you're listening. Because I told you needed to listen today. I told you this was going to be the message that was going out over Alabama. And there's a lot of people behind the scenes getting ready for this push. We pushed with Jared Markham. A lot of people. And we won. We made them back down because they ended up on Drudge. They ended up on The Blaze. Jared's story ended up on Fox News at the top of the website three different times, one time 2 days in a row. And the school district had to back down. We're going to fight this all the way. We're not going to stop, Dan, until this principal is thoroughly, publicly humiliated and shamed and loses his job. Because this is insanity. The schools are stepping all over parental sovereignty. The schools all over are overstepping their bounds. I've mentioned before, our little school district here that we live in, here in Springville, California, is a great little school district. We've got some good parents. We've got some good teachers. But we've also got notes going out that if you don't pick your child up on time, right at 6 o'clock on the dot, we're going to call the sheriff. Insanity and shameful, don't you dare. I would hope that they know better than to really follow through with that. I'm afraid they'd have a bunch of mountain boys down at the school real quick. But this young man lost his life, and he lost his life because of weakness. And here's what I have to say to you, Principal Campbell. Here's exactly what I have to say to you. You understand a concept. You have helped train new teachers. Every year, you've been a principal for a long time at another school. You've dealt with new teachers, and you understand that this basic thing goes on in a classroom every first year. And that's that a brand new teacher is weak. They don't really know how to control their class all the time. They're not really adept yet at learning how to keep control of the class of 15, 20, 30 students. And so they find themselves throwing the apple up to the principal's office and letting the principal take care of it because they're weak. They don't know how to handle it. But as a first-year teacher grows and they get stronger, what do? They learn not to do that. They learn to control it in their classroom because it makes them look weak when they can't handle their own discipline problems. Well, we've got the same problem with you, Michael. Principal Campbell, here is the way it works. Let me explain this. When you cannot handle your problems in-house and you have to go to the higher authority, when you have to go to the next level up, it shows you as weak and incompetent. It is amazing to me, Dan, and I'm going to pass it over there with you. It is amazing that our country made it as far as it is with this occurrence, this prank going on for generations on football fields, on adult football fields, on kids' football fields. And they didn't have to threaten a child, a 15-year-old child with a future, with being on the sex offender registry. They didn't have to threaten children with arrest in order to control the problem. Same situation a lot of times going on in schools with a food fight in the cafeteria. You handle it. You deal with it. You bring the parents in, and you get them involved, and you handle it. And there's repercussions at home sometimes. Sometimes the parents choose not to, and that's okay. That is their right. I think it's a wrong decision, but that is their right as parents of those children. I'm telling you, Michael Campbell, I'm telling you, there are a lot of people all over the country right now not very happy, and we're not going to let this story go. We're going to keep pushing this story. We've already found out that there are lawsuits that are starting to spring up. We've already found out that there is a movement of some of the parents to make sure that you are gone. And there is a movement on behalf of Alabamans that this never, ever happens again. If you think it was bad Friday when this story hit Drudge, which hits 33 million viewers, and your phones rang off the hook, you took your Facebook page off the web, off the Internet, didn't you, Principal Campbell? You took it off the web, the Internet. You took it down. Because you found out real quick that you made a wrong decision. And I don't want to hear your stupid line of it wasn't just a prank. Yes, it was just a prank. It's amazing that the people that have gone before you that were stronger and more able to do their job could get through this little prank that's happened from time to time without trying to threaten to put a kid on a sex registry, without having to bring the authorities in, without having to have him arrested. It is amazing that we ever got anywhere. That the public schools ever got anywhere, that we created this great nation without all that insanity. Your only correct choice, Principal Campbell, your only correct choice was to get in contact with the parents, sit down and come up with a punishment for some kind of the school you got to. I understand you can't just let that go, or next year you'll have a whole bunch of them. I'm a firm disciplinarian, mister. I know better than you do. In fact, I could probably teach you a thing or two about being a disciplinarian. I know. I was handed the handbook. I could probably teach a college class that you'd have to sit in to explain you some of the basics behind discipline. I'm a firm believer in discipline. I don't want kids free reign, and I don't want kids running across the football field naked. I don't want that. You handled it wrong. You handled it way wrong, and you handled it in a way that makes you look weak, just like that freshman, just like that brand new teacher is weak. And that's going to be the message that's going out. We got a team of people all across the country that are getting ready to descend on Alabama 4, Starkman High School, in your school district. We're going to make sure that every parent in the country knows that this has happened. And we are going to make you the face of the insanity of zero tolerance. You see, Dan, I think zero tolerance, by its very nature, leaves out purposely common sense. And this time you got stung. This time you got blood of a 15-year-old boy on your hands whom you threatened, Michael Campbell. you threatened to destroy his life. And that is unacceptable. You will not continue to be a principal. We are going to continue to put legal pressure on you. I've already got three different lawyers that I know on the internet that love stuff like this. They're in the process right now of finding ways to get involved. It's going down. It's going down, Dan. This is insanity. I'm going to pass it back to you.
Well, I think we should contact Dr. Huber on this one for a constitutional violation. And as you and I know, and so do our listeners, Scott, how powerful Don Huber is. He's been in politics since 1960 and has been an advisor to four presidents. Michael Campbell, I'm going to be happy to watch you go down. It's going to be a pleasure. And from me to you, I hope you're proud of what you did. You killed a little kid for just doing a little prank. Did you even go to college? I mean, my fraternity had me climbing a flagpole naked in the middle of the quadrangle. You ever listen to Ray Stevens, his song in 1974 called The Streak? There was a whole period of time when people were doing that. And we all laughed and it was stupid. And even university officials rarely got involved. And if they did, they put them on probation for a year. What do? You call the police, you coward. And that's what I'm going to call you. You're a coward. You're lower than low. I grew up in academia. My father was a professor. He had a PhD. Unlike probably you, and if you do, it's a professional, hardworking idiot. I mean, I'm telling you, you're a poor excuse of a human, and you're definitely not an inspiration for as a principal. I'm telling you to call the police. I mean, what do you have? Are you an invertebrate with no spine? I mean, teachers in my day, you know, if somebody did something stupid like that, they'd get reamed, and they would be reamed in front of their classmates to make sure it wouldn't happen again, but it would be handled within the boundaries of their own classroom. Wouldn't even get to the principal. And if it did get to the principal, you'd sit in the principal's office. He'd make you sit there for an hour, so you'd sweat a little bit. And then you'd go in there, you'd do about 2 months' worth of being kept out of school, you know, detention. You know, what kind of man, I know you aren't a man. You're a coward and you're a joke. And I promise you, when our little group right here, when we get our teeth into something, we don't stop and we have some very powerful people. And I promise you, I will make sure that your next job is picking up garbage because nobody else will hire you. You want to talk about destroying lives, sir? We'll make sure that we do that. And I don't take my threats or not without support. We'll make sure that we grab every person we can and march on your school, and we're going to go right to your town hall, and we're going to make sure we're going to put so much pressure on the town, on the school board, that they'll have no choice but to get rid of you. And then once we get rid of you, we'll make sure that nobody else hires you. What were you thinking about? I mean, were you getting a thrill for hurting this kid? I mean, did that give you some sense of empowerment?
Dan, let me add this to you, what you just said real quick, because that's the question. What were you thinking about? What were you thinking about? A principal, your purpose is to prepare these students for their future. And you took a good kid, blatantly a good kid, said that by many people. A teenage boy? Yeah, teenage boy. First thing I'm going to do next week is look real hard into digging up into what the things that you did when you were a teenage boy. We got access to stuff like that in this day and age. We're going to find out. Because, I'm going to tell you, Dan, I'm going to hand it back to you. I got a couple of things to do. But, you know, here's the key. Here's what tells me that what you did was wrong. In the Jared Markham case, when the principal was contacted over and over and over again, she said the same thing over and over again. And I respected this to a point. She said, I can't comment. It's a student. But see, you broke that rule, and that's where you're going to get got. It's not because he committed suicide that you're going to get got. It's not the blood on your hands. We can't, by law, deal with you having blood on his hands. There's not laws on the books to connect to that. I really wish there were. But there are laws on the books of keeping your mouth shut. So when you did this, it was malicious. It was malicious. It wasn't a principal that had a problem child, a problem student that you were trying to help get better. It was a kid that you obviously decided you just gave up on. And I'm going to tell you something else we're looking into right now. We started yesterday. I got people looking right now to try and find the information. Out of all of the illiterate in our country, 20% have graduated from our public school system. And here's what I want to know, Michael. Here's what I want to know. How many of your students graduate that can't read? Because I'm going to tell you a little story about a four-year-old who's still four, will turn five in December, who is reading at a third grade reading level, who is doing math at a first grade reading level, is doing science at a second grade reading level. She could probably sit down in front of you, Principal Michael, and explain to you how a tree works, how the sunlight and the carbon dioxide and the water and the nutrients from the ground and the roots and the leaf and the trunk and the flowers and the fruit and the seed goes down into the ground, it dies, it gets buried, and it's resurrected into a new tree. She can probably explain that better than you can. And I'm going to tell you something. I did that on the refrigerator with a bright erase marker over a period of a year. Our number one problem in our schools is you guys are letting them go through, and they can't even read by the time they're done. You're not focusing on the things that you're supposed to be focusing on. Your mind is elsewhere. Shame on you, Principal Campbell. Shame on you, shame on you, shame on you. I want to know how many of your students every year graduate, and they can't even read, and you've got them for four solid years? Abominable. You don't have time to be messing with stuff like this. You are destroying the children's view of the adults in the education system. Now you got a bunch of kids going to high school that are worried, you know, if they do any little thing, they're going to get the police called on them. Shame on you, Principal Campbell. Shame on you. That is not your job. It is the parents' job to discipline. Now, like I said, if a kid's selling drugs, you have to do what you got to do. When there is blatant disregard for the law, but when we're talking about a prank that has gone on for generations, it was probably, in fact, I wouldn't doubt, as Thomas Jefferson invented the public school system, the first year of public school, there was some, probably some kid that went running across the schoolyard butt naked just out of fun. And I'll say it again. If he'd been my son, he'd been grounded. He'd have been grounded for a month, a year. He'd have been taking out trash. He would have been going down and doing some community service. I would have been very, very harsh on that young man if he'd been my son. But lovingly harsh. Lovingly harsh. Loving discipline. You treated this kid like he was a monster. Shame on you. Shame on you. Shame on you. And those are the words you're going to continue to hear. Because we're going to be talking about this next Tuesday. We are going to be talking about this on other blog talk radio shows. We're working right now on getting Glenn Beck to contact to talk about this. We're working very quickly on having Fox News talking about this, MSNBC, CBS, ABC. This story's not going to stop. What you saw happen Friday, Principal Campbell, with your phones ringing off the hook and social media going insane, Twitter is still tweeting out about every 2 minutes a tweet about this story. Dan, where I found this story was on Drudge, but you know where the link was? And the big article that is still there?
What?
Is
where?
In Britain, in England, in Europe. Across the pond, they're covering this. Your name, Principal Michael Campbell, is being spread all over Great Britain. You are famous, my friend, and you are going to become more famous, and it's not good. And I'm going to say this, and then it's yours, Dan. You and I are a party, along with our co-hosts on Tuesday, as well as who we interviewed Tuesday, Jim Paris, my friends Teresa, Melissa, and a whole team of us helped make Herman Cain famous. And we helped make him famous for a good reason. We, his grassroots, took him up the highest, quickest jump in name recognition in the history of politics. And that wasn't his campaign. His campaign was running on $10,000 a month. That was the people getting out and sharing information. Conservative Nation Radio, Michael Smith down in Texas. Woohoo, Texas, Hadley, down there by Dallas. Going to be in 8 weeks, I'm going to be able to give my good friend Michael Smith a great big bear hug. We're going to continue, and we are going to go. We are going to Facebook this. We are going to write letters. We are going to make phone calls. We are going to inundate the school board. This will not happen again. And Michael Campbell, it would be I call right now for your resignation. Immediately, I call for your resignation. And immediately, not only do I call for your resignation, I call for you to never work in the schools again. I wish they had a registry for bad principals, and maybe we need one of those. Maybe that's what we need, Dan. We need a registry for teachers and principals that overstep their bounds, a registry for teachers that don't know how to handle their students in coalition with the parents. It is supposed to be parents and teachers and parents and educators working together, not leave the parents out and go straight to the authorities. Shame on you, Michael Starkman. I hand it back to Florida.
Mm-hmm. I agree. When I was going to URI, we had a rating, a book that went out every year, and it was a rating of every professor at URI. And the ones that got the bad ratings didn't make the tenure, and they were unemployed. And guess what? Mike, you better start looking for another job. You know, I heard that waste management might have an opening for you, starting out on the back of a garbage truck. That's all you deserve. And as I said, what the heck were you thinking about? You know, did it give you, you know, a sense of empowerment that you were going to destroy some little child? You know, one of the first cases of Strutz were actually mentioned in the 1860s. Guess where? West Point. Stricken has happened in at Annapolis. It has happened at Harvard, MIT. I mean, it's happened at all the great schools. And you know something? Some of those strictures, actually, I think Bill Clinton actually was one. And they, you know, they became presidents. They became great men and women. Because these were just little pranks that were done by younger people. And I'm sure you did your share of events when you were growing up. I know I did. I'm not above that. You know something, and I'm man enough to own up to it, which I'm sure you aren't, just like I'm sure you won't resign. Cowards don't do that. They don't stand up. You have no integrity, and you have no honor, man, sir. And I'll say that right now, several thousand people are listening to us. And I am very happy to say you have no honor and no integrity. And I will be happy if you want to go after us, because we have some very powerful people behind us that will rip you apart. And I promise you we'll just bleed you economically until you're bankrupt. And when you have nothing, because that's all you deserve. Do you realize what you did? You essentially killed somebody. You killed somebody. You might as well have put the and gone up to that kid's head and pulled the trigger. I mean, do you ever hear of Ray Stevens? He put out a song in 1974, you know, right as I was about to go into college. And the name of the song is The Streak. And it was what we were doing back then, you know, 40 years ago. Do you think this is anything new? Heck no. They've done it at the greatest universities in this country, the highest learning institutions, the ones with the greatest reputations. This has happened. And what do? You disgrace those universities. You disgrace higher education. You disgrace education in general. If this is what they're putting out for teachers today, I'm telling you, I'm appalled. I am so appalled. Because you're a poor, you aren't even a poor excuse, you aren't that high. And the school board above you, I'll tell you that, is that if you knew this liberal piece of crap was like this, trying to make himself look big and powerful, if you knew anything about this, you people should be ashamed of yourselves too. This guy is a joke. He's beyond a joke. And I wish I had the opportunity to see you face to face, sir. Because by the time I was done, you'd be crawling away, and it wouldn't be for anything physical. You'd be so ashamed, and I'd make sure people, lawyers have taken me on and debating, and I've lost. And yes, Scott, I'm very, very good at constitutional law. And I just can't believe this. This is beyond. He's stupid. And this is beyond. I mean, I didn't think there was a principle in this entire country who would do something like this. Get on the radio and TV and disgrace a high school kid, a teenager. I mean, I can't believe that. As I said, what were you thinking? Was this your idea of empowerment? I'm just so angry. And I'm telling you, as I said, Glenn Beck as Scott said, Glenn Beck will know. Wayne Dupree will know. Basically, any person who does talk radio will know. I'm going to be contacting Steve Wilkos. So you're going to be put all over Sirius FM. And then I'm going to start hitting with the mainstream radio stations so that you're hit from every angle. I'm going to be writing to Fox, and I'm going to be writing wherever I can. The O'Reilly Factor. I'm going to make sure Hannity, everybody, because that's what you deserve. And well, you know something? You'll go down in history right along with Benedict Arnold and Nero. You know, and Hitler. You know, people who were so narcissistic, they didn't care about what they did to other people. They were so into themselves that they didn't care if another life was lost. You know, I would say that you're right up there with Obama. I mean, when, a person can, go out and kill, basically have someone killed and doesn't care, that, to me, is not even a human. You are down there with, the lowest form of life forms on this planet.
Dan, let me throw this in here real quick. You know, I have to stop you. Because, it's one thing to compare him to Hitler. But, man, that's a low blow to compare him to Obama.
I'm sorry. I did that. People like this drive me crazy. It's because, something. They are so narcissistic, they can't, they don't care who they hurt. And I guess I'm so different from that. The only time I get like this is when somebody has done something horrible, like what this poor excuse of a human did. And for that, I apologize. Not that I don't mean it. I just apologize.
I know. When you said that, when you say Hitler, I went, oh, boy, Dan, give him right that sucker punch. And then when you said Obama, I thought in my brain, I thought, boy, that's even worse than Hitler. And, you know, politics, and I know there's probably some people that would disagree with us that think Obama is the Messiah. But, you know, you use the word narcissism, Dan, and that's important. Because when we look at this situation, first of all, I want to ask, when we talk about the fight, what are we talking about? We talk about the fight on this network a lot. And like you said, we're not talking about physical fight. We are talking about using the tools we've got out there to fight this situation. And we're going to make sure that there are cameras in Michael Campbell's face, asking him the hard questions. You have just made yourself, Michael Campbell, a person who's put themselves out for the media to come in and ask the questions, and you have to answer them. You can either, like, act really silly in front of the camera and go, no, I'm not going to say anything. But, you know, you had an opportunity to say no comment, and you chose instead. And, you know, you've got the opportunity, Michael Campbell, right now to do the right thing. I teach my nieces, do the right thing. Whether it hurts or not, do the right thing. See, if I were you, if I'd made that mistake, I would turn around and go, oh, man, I really blew it. I need to do the right thing. I need to resign. But here's the problem I've got. Here's the real problem, and this goes beyond Christian. This goes beyond this young 15-year-old boy who had his whole life in front of him, good-looking kid, played football, had a loving family. When you got on the news and said what you said, you were gloating. You were gloating. You weren't trying to solve the problem. You used Christian to bolster your strength because you are weak. You used that young man as a way to show that you are tough. Well, look where your tough got you, buddy. Your tough got you behind some lawsuits, and they're coming. They're coming. Believe me, they're coming. You know, Dan, you talked about Dan Huber. Oh, man, what a powerhouse. Worked on the Romney campaign. You know, he was just a guy on the Romney campaign. We're not talking about Mitt. We're talking about his dad. Goes back a way back. I've interviewed Rick Perry. I've interviewed Rick Santorum. Mm-hmm. I've got contact Whitney Neal with Freedom Works, Sutter Porter and Alexander with the New One America Network. We've got contacts. We've got contacts with Sean Hannity. I've got an email right now. I can get something to Sean Hannity right now, and I'm going to do it. Evan Syatt. I'm just looking at some of the names that I've got written on my board of contacts of people that we've made. Wayne Herman Root, Cain. Herman Cain. Some of these other greats. And on top of that, we've got a huge handful of lawyers that were on the new campaign. We're on the Herman Cain campaign, that we're on the Rick Santorum campaign, that we're on the Michelle Bachmann campaign, constitutional lawyers. We've got, I'll tell you, one of my favorite lawyers, and his name has just left me. I don't know, my computer's sitting here. Jared Barkham's lawyer. Let me tell you, powerhouse. The grassroots helped push the movement. He led the movement. And we made the Logan School District cry uncle. Boy, did they cry uncle. In fact, three different times.
Look at what Don Huber did. He got Bobby Kennedy to back down. And
right.
If you can get Bobby Kennedy to back down, buddy, you don't got a prayer.
Right. There's going to be blogs written. I'm going to tell you, Dan, I thought when Jared Markham's situation came up on the news, I thought it was huge. I'm in the news and on social media. It is tiny next to what's going on with this story. Like I said, the first article that I read was from the UK Telegraph. They're talking about this across the pond. You have no choice, Michael Campbell, but to resign. You can either resign now and get this over with, get this out of the way, and go. Or you can spend the next few months with people asking questions constantly. because the story's going to continue. The story's going to spread. It just broke on Friday. It hasn't even hit Fox yet. It hasn't hit Breitbart. It hasn't hit any of the Huffington Post is going to cover this. This is an issue that ends up being nonpartisan. This is where the left and the right come together, except for they might not be happy with your comments about comparing that poor old principal to Barack Obama. I'm going to tell you one more time, compare him to Hitler.
Right.
But don't compare him to Barack Obama. That's as low as you can get.
I apologize.
I just because I'll tell you, the comparison is right, Dan, because Barack Obama wants what he wants no matter what. He uses the wrong authorities to accomplish what he wants instead of going to the people. It's an attitude of authoritarianism that you're the big bad stuff. And like I say, Michael Campbell, this is what's going to get you. We can't hold you for the blood on this boy's head. We cannot hold you for that. We can sue the school district. We can sue you for all kinds of things. But I'm going to tell you what's going to take you down. And that was your getting on the news media and threatening this young man with what was coming ahead. And you basically said, boy, you really messed it up, kid. You got some big things coming down on you. And you know what? I say that to my nieces. I say, you know what? You messed up. And there's going to be some consequences with this. Privately in their room, not on the news. And you as a principal, you should have sat down with Christian in your office and said, man, this could give you some great ramifications in life. This could, stuff like this could really get you in trouble. It's a prank, and I understand it's a prank, but you know it's going to cause you some consequences. I'm a firm believer in that. Like I said, Michael Campbell, I could teach you about disciplinarianism. I could teach you about it. But you didn't handle it as a disciplinarian. You handled it as a cocky, arrogant, gloating principle. And when you did, you showed yourself as weak. You showed yourself as weak. And we're going to continue on, and we use the song a lot, and maybe we should play it here in a few minutes. Keep on keeping on. And you and I, Dan, we're connected with a lot of people. A lot of people. Boy, I'm in a group with almost 8,000 parents and educators all across the country, and I'm one of the 6 admins. I've got access to all those people. And that's one of my 7 groups that I'm in that include parents and educators. I'm in contact with some great congressmen. Tom McMillan here in California, great man, fighting for parental sovereignty in California. And we are going to keep talking until we know everybody knows this. We're going to keep talking until you've got cameras in your face. We're going to keep talking until the school board says, we got to fire you. I cannot wait to see what happens at this next school board meeting down at Starkman High for the school district that Starkman High School's in. I cannot wait for the PTA to get a hold of this. I'll tell you, from what I saw just on Friday, and it just broke on Friday. This has been going on for a couple of weeks now. I saw passion. Go ahead, Dan.
We'll get Jennifer and Stacy to get their groups, since they're there in Alabama, together. And I guarantee you they'll be at this school board meeting. I've known Jennifer for a while, and you don't rile that woman up. I mean, sir, you're in a heap of trouble, and what you threatened that kid of is going to be 100 times worse. It's got to be exponentially. So I would, Monday morning, I would go and contact the media, and I would say I was wrong. Beg the parents for forgiveness, and then resign. Maybe then you'll save yourself a little bit of the humiliation that's going to come up. That's your only salvation here, buddy. But if you want to try to hold your job, it's going to come down on you harder than a ton of bricks. And as I said, we have so many connections. Scott, Casey, Jennifer. We have good friends as Wayne. We have them all over the place. You know, Dr. Huber. This is what we do for a living. We don't get paid for this, but we're on the air every week, and we'll make sure that we will not stop. And every week, we thousands of people hear us, and it goes on archives too, so that it can be heard, you know, years from now. So, I'm happy that, and this will this goes beyond party. When you go out and kill a 15-year-old kid just to show that you're powerful, you
again,
have no
you know,
power.
You covered something also. You know, of all the places for this to happen, I'm loving that this happened in Alabama, because I got contact, and I work with people every week all across the country in every state of the union. I've got friends in Maryland. We're all activists. We're political activists. But I've got some of the best connections in the world in Alabama, of all places.
Two of them right on.
Powerhouse.
They work with us.
That's right. Jennifer is our co-host, and Stacy is our co-host on Tuesday. They're both in Alabama. And we've got Jonathan Barbie, who's running, and it looks like he's going to win, the public service commissioner there in Alabama. Powerhouse knows a lot of people. Matt Jenkins, running for Congress in Alabama 7. Good friend. I'm in communication with Matt Jenkins every day, almost every other day, and have been for a long time. Kay Carl Smith, you and I are Frederick Douglass Republicans. Kay Carl Smith down there. Lisa Adams, a powerhouse with the schools down there. In fact, Michael Campbell, I'm sure you know the name Lisa Adams. And I can guarantee you, if you know that name, you know you don't want to tangle with her. You don't want to talk about a mama bear. I have a lot of respect for a lot of people in Alabama, and Lisa Adams is at the top of the list, man. And I'm going to tell you, if you were thinking that, okay, so hit Drudge, 33 million people saw this, 33 million approximately people look at Drudge every day, all around the world, and your phones went off the hook, and you thought, okay, this is going to die down. This isn't going to die down. These people are going to continue to spread this story on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. They're going to continue to spread the story by blog. They're going to continue to spread the story by getting a hold of news media in and around. Where there is an active program going on right now to get a hold of every news media outlet in the state of Alabama. This has just started. Whatever you saw happen in your office on Friday, and I know what it was like. Because we've been through this before. We've had offices of apartment complexes that have told veterans that they are not allowed to fly their flag anymore. And within 2 days, they've gone, oh, no, that was a bad decision. In Maryland, we had a school principal say, well, we're not going to have Halloween anymore. And the next day, the school district said, oh, no, that was a mistake. Here in California, we had L.A. of all places, Dan, we had a girl that was told she could not wear an NRA shirt to school. And 2 days later, the school went, oh, no, we changed our mind on that. That was a bad decision. What you saw happen, and this is a 10 times worse, what you've done, Michael Campbell, 10 times worse, because this is child abuse, and this is abuse of authority. And this is abuse of the parental sovereignty of Christian's parents and his family. And this is going to continue to escalate. You are going to have the worst week you've ever had in your entire life come Monday. The phone number to the school is out there. I know you've tried to expunge that from the school, from the websites and everything. You're just because you took down your Facebook page, that tells me you're hiding your face in the sand. If you were so correct, you know, if I was right about something, Dan, then I'll pass it back to you. If I was right about something, I get out and argue about it. If somebody disagrees with me and I go, no, I'm right, I get out and I don't hide. You only hide your head in the sand when you know you're wrong. And you got out there and you used your position of authority. You used this young boy Christian to bolster your strength, to make yourself feel stronger. You got on the news and you literally abused your power by gloating and threatening a young boy that just went, oh my goodness, what do I have ahead of me? A sex registry the rest of my life. My life is over. And you know, it's a hard thing when somebody commits suicide, a very, very hard thing. And we know that teenage suicide is a problem that we have sometimes. But when you push, when you give the nudge to a good kid, and you threaten him like this, and you abuse him and abuse his family, you abuse the parent. You stepped on their parental rights to be the ones to discipline this 15-year-old boy. Because you've got the mentality, that the same mentality that Melissa Perry put out before, that these aren't the parents' children. They're not our children. They're collective children. And you've lost this battle already. You know, I'm going to say this. I'm going to head it back to you, Dan. I say a lot of, you know, in the story of David and Goliath in the Old Testament, Paul kind of refers to that in the New Testament. He uses the phrase more than conquerors. When little David picked up those five stones, number one, it wasn't because of lack of faith. Goliath had four brothers. He was ready to go out and defeat all five of them to start off with. But David knew something, and he knew it very well, and he said it. He said, the battle's already done. The battle's the Lord's. It's already been accomplished. Well, the same thing applies here. You've lost. You've lost this battle. You may not know it yet, but you've lost this battle. It's over, my friend. You are not going to continue to be the principal. Now, it may take 2 months. It may take 5 months. It may take 2 years to get you to cry uncle and resign. And then we're going to make sure that every school district that you ever go to is going to do this. You need to get out of the teaching business. You have proven yourself to not have the right attitude of love and tenderness and compassion that it takes to help students. You're supposed to be a help to the parents. You're supposed to be a help to the student, not a hindrance. You've made yourself a hindrance. And we are going to make ourselves a hindrance to you, my friend. And it's going to be done legally. It's going to be done clean. I wish, and I probably will try and find the time in the next year. When I get to Texas, I'm going to be a whole lot closer. And I'm coming to Alabama. Anybody that hears me on Blog Talk Radio knows there's a trip to Alabama coming. And I'm going to be one of those people there with a camera in your face asking the hard questions. I'm going to be one of those people there, and it might be 6 months from now, but you're still going to be dealing with this. This is not going to go away. When I was a kid, I was hyper, and I took my pills to school one day. I was in the fourth grade, and I didn't sell them. I just gave them away. It was more curiosity. It wasn't malicious. It was just something stupid that I did. And the principal called me in and shook his head and said, Scott, what have you done this for? He knew I was a good kid. And he was really sweet about it, but he says, Scott, he says, you got some consequences for this. He says, we've got to deal with this. And I went out after that, and I spent the lunch hour. I just told this story last night. I spent the lunch hour wandering around the schoolyard at the edge of the fence, trying to stay as far away from the principal as I could because I hoped he'd forget. But he didn't. And I had to go in with the parents of the kids that were involved. And you know, the school and the parents handled it. Now, that showed me strength of character in that principal. That was a good principal. He was strong. He didn't have to call the authorities in because he could handle the situation correctly. And he did. And you know what? I never passed out pills again. In fact, I went all the way through high school. I never even took drugs. I never even drank. You've handled this problem, Michael Campbell. You've handled this wrong. And there are consequences, young man. There are severe consequences for your actions. And those consequences are going to be that you're going to be on a registry, all right. Not a physical registry. But you're going to be on the registry of the minds and the hearts of the people in Alabama. You're going to be on the minds and the hearts of the people in District 4 in Alabama. You're going to be on the minds and the hearts, and you already are, of the parents and the teachers and the students And I imagine, I can't even imagine what you're going through right now just in your own school. If anything is like in your school, what's going on the internet right now, you have had it. I think your school's going to take care of it. You cannot stand up and have the respect of the students anymore. You cannot stand up and have the respect of the teachers anymore. You cannot stand up and have the respect of the parents anymore. You need to resign. You need to resign effective immediately. You need to go find a job somewhere else. Maybe you need to go teach at a college level. I'm not a person who believes that one mistake in life should totally just destroy your life. But obviously, you don't think that way, because basically that's the opposite of what you took with Christian. It's over with, my friend. And you can either make this easy, you can resign, effective immediately, or you can continue to fight this. But let me tell you, you are going to be on the ground with your knee pulled back, and you're going to be crying uncle. And that's symbolic. Because like you said, Dan, we don't have to get physical. We don't have to make those kinds of threats in a fight. We know how to use the tools of the media. We know how to use the tools of communication to continue to get this story out. And you are going to cry uncle. You will cry uncle. It will happen. And as long as you wait to not do the right thing, I'm going to find out if you go to church somewhere. Because I'll tell you what you need to do. First thing you need to do is you need to make it right with your God. Because you didn't handle this. If you're a Christian, you did not handle this with a Christian attitude. You totally handled it with Satan's attitude. And you need to get up at the end of the sermon. You need to go forward. You need to ask your God for forgiveness. You need to ask your congregation for forgiveness, because you've sinned in front of all them. This is sin. This is sin, what you've done. And I know I just pulled it out of politics and pushed it into religion. That's what this show is all about. This is Contending for Truth Radio. We're not afraid to mix our religion and our politics. It's going to happen, my friend. And I hate it. I hate it because I don't know you. Maybe you're a great principal. Maybe of all the times you've been great. I don't think so. I think this tells a lot about your character. I think this incident shows what kind of character you've got. I think you used the right word, Dan, narcissistic. I believe this was all about you. That press conference was all about you and showing how tough you can be. And you only do that. A peacock only shows its plumage when it's afraid. Now, I got praying mantises around here. And if you've ever seen a praying mantis, spread its wings. If you get in and try and attack a praying mantis, like a peacock, he spreads his wings. He only does that when he's afraid. You spreaded your wings on that television. You spreaded your wings on that news interview, and that shows me you're afraid and you're weak. That's about you, Dan.
I agree 100%. You know something? Everybody who reads my post knows that every word I say is truthful. And on occasions, I goof. And when I do, I write a rebuttal the very next day, owning up to it. And then I apologize, and I make the correction known in front of everybody. That's why I have close to 3,000 followers. And I don't mind it. Why? Because I'm a man. You see, Mike, I have something that you don't have. I have honor. And I have a lot of integrity. And if I'm wrong, I'm the first one to admit it. I don't mind. Doesn't bother me in the least. You know, I'm not the only person who hasn't been wrong or who hasn't committed a sin. I'm not God. I'm not Jesus Christ. So I might as well just own up to my mistakes right away. You know, this way I feel better because I'm washing my hands. And I'm making things right with God. And you see, I'm a very, very, very religious man. had a near-death experience last year, and I vowed that every day I would follow the teachings of God and Jesus Christ and live the best life I could. And Jesus lost his temper a couple times, and he told people off. I remember one against a poor woman when Jesus turned around and said, "Hey, any of you people never sinned? Then you can cast that stone." You know, and I look at, then I see a poor excuse of a human like you, who's strictly into, "Oh, look at me, people. Look how powerful I am." And I look at you and I laugh, because I know how weak you are. I know how, when pushed against the corner, you cave. You would run on against a debate. Just like you'd run against something like this. I could even tell you how you got into the position you're in. You kissed all the right people's butts, and you praised them just to get to where you were, because you didn't make it on your own abilities. I can see that. And yes, I would love to see you teach at a university, because I'd find out what university it was, and I'd pay to take your class just so I could humiliate you in front of the class, and you wouldn't stand a prayer against me. And I'd do it very, very happily. And what Scott was saying is, we know how to use the media. We're a very small group of people. You know, there's not that many people who are on the radio and on TV in this country. So if I don't know you directly, I know somebody who does. And we can get in touch with anybody we want. And I promise you, sir, you might as well hang it up, because I'll tell you this much, your only option here right now is to immediately contact the media, stand up, admit your mistake, resign, and walk away. That's the only bit of honor you can salvage out of this mess. But I can, dollars to donuts, I can guarantee you won't do it. Why? You're too narcissistic. You're too, I can get over this. No, you can't. You have made a sin. You have done a sin that is beyond easy salvation. This is going to take a lot for you to get over. Scott's a minister. I'm very religious myself. Stacy and Jennifer, also the same way. We believe in God number one, our Constitution number two. And I'm going to start looking through the Federalist Papers to see if I can find anything I can get you on a constitutional level. And I'm going to contact Dr. Hubert point me in the right direction, and, you know, maybe him and I together can do that. So I'm going to look for a constitutional violation in there. I'm not sure if I can find one, but I'm going to start searching. Because if I can get you on a constitutional one, I can get you thrown on Leavenworth. And I'm going to do everything I can to, you know, and if nothing else, I'm going to make sure that your future is going to look pretty bleak. You know, if, as I said, if you're a man, which I know you aren't, you would resign on Monday. You know, and I doubt you're even listening to this right now because cowards run.
He probably hung up.
Oh, I know he did.
He's going to hear this message, and he's going to hear it over and over and over again. Because you and I, some other people, helped frame the message for the Jared Markham story. And, you know, for the listeners that don't know what the Jared Markham story was, same insanity, absolutely same insanity. Jared Markham, a young man whose father believes in his right to bear arms, let Jared go to school with an NRA T-shirt. And one of the teachers, the band teacher there at Logan Middle School, decided that he didn't like that. He decided he wanted to overstep the bounds. There was no school rule that Jared couldn't wear that shirt. I'm a firm believer. Actually, I would be a firm believer in saying no messages at all on shirts in schools. I'm for school uniforms. I've taught school, and I've taught school where we had school uniforms, and I'm a firm believer that that makes an easier learning process when you leave it all out. But you can't just let some and not leave others, or you get yourself into a mess. Walt Disney was brilliant. When they created Senior Day at Disneyland, Walt Disney made a rule, and that was that all the boys had to have shirts, ties, and slacks on, and all the girls had to have nice dresses. It's a nicely dressed occasion. The reason why he did that was not to have a bunch of nice-looking school students running around Disneyland. It's because he knew if they were dressed like that, they'd be less likely to jump into the rivers of America and be silly. So I'm a firm believer in a dress code. Don't get me wrong. But in this situation, the teacher decided to take it upon himself and tell Jerry he couldn't wear that shirt. He overstepped his bounds. And that situation should have gone to the office, and the principal should have said, no, you can't tell Jerry, you can't take the shirt off, so on and so forth. But that's not what happened. What happened was Jared, being a 15-year-old boy, stood up and said, wait a minute. I've got the right to wear this shirt. You can't tell me I can't wear this shirt. I've got a constitutional right to wear this shirt. There's no rule in the school that says we can't wear shirts printed, so on and so forth. And the students got behind him. And instead of, if it was a real legitimate problem, instead of the principal sitting down, taking Jared into the office, calling in Mr. Markham and Mrs. Markham and saying, we've got this problem we've got to deal with, instead they just went to the authorities. Again, showing weakness, just like that brand-new first-year teacher that can't handle their problems in classroom. The authorities in Logan Middle School showed that they can't handle their own problems without going to a higher authority. They had Jared arrested. They threatened him with jail time and financial burden. Well, it didn't happen very long because the news media got a hold of it. And the news media getting a hold of it is tiny. Let me tell you, Michael Campbell, if you're still listening to us, having it on Drudge Report, that's tiny, actually. Those 33 million people that go to Drudge every day, that's tiny. Next to when the grassroots gets a hold of it. Because, see, then the grassroots started reading about the story, and we got angry. And what we did was we kept spreading the story, and we kept the story going. That's where the key comes in, and that's where you're in trouble, Principal Campbell. That's where you're in trouble, because this story's not going away. Jared Markham was only facing a jail term, and he was the family was facing hardships because inadequacy of the school district. 15-year-old boy dead. The story is not going away. Like Jared Markham, every day we're going to be focusing on this. We're going to talk about this Tuesday. And let me tell you, we got a great guest on Tuesday. Let me take this as an opportunity to introduce our guest we're going to have on Tuesday. A good friend of mine, I just mentioned a while ago, somebody that I have high respect for, Matt Jenkins. He's running for Congress in Alabama 7. And this is going to be part of our discussion with him on Tuesday. With Jennifer Montrose from Alabama. With Stacey Todbush from Alabama. We're going to discuss this show on Tuesday. We're going to discuss this show the following Tuesday. We'll mention this. We may not take the whole show just like we are today to talk about it next Saturday. But we're going to talk about this again next Saturday. I'm going to mention this. I teach ladies body class on Friday mornings at 10:30 here on Blog Talk Radio. We sit around Betty's table and with the ladies. I've been teaching that class for about 5 years now. We put it on Blog Talk in this last year. I'm going to mention it. I'm going to mention this story. We're going to talk about it. We're going to Facebook it. We're going to Twitter it. We're going to blog it. We're going to make phone calls. We're going to send emails. And this story is going to continue going because, Dan, narcissism is the word. Narcissistic. I want to walk through exactly what I would have done had I been the principal because this was the correct way to handle things. I would have been sitting there in the bleachers watching the game, rooting for my boys, and all of a sudden I see this bare butt running across, a little white bare butt. And I would have put my hand on my forehead and went, oh, boy, Christian, what are you doing? Don't do this. All right. I would have gotten up. I would have had I would have had somebody go get him. I would have made him put his clothes on. I would have brought him back into the office. I would have said, you know, young man, I know. You're 15 years old and you thought it was funny. I did some things when I was 15 years old when I thought it was funny. I was a TT-er, Dan. I liked TP. There was a difference, though. I was leading the whole youth group in TPing. I would take 10, 12 people from our church youth group, and we would TP. And oh, not only that, Dan, we were TPing little old ladies' houses.
Yeah.
Then that very next morning, we would all show back up to clean it up. And the little old ladies loved it, and they always had food there for us, sometimes a spread like you wouldn't believe, a full table spread of a great big breakfast, because they knew when they got up that morning and they saw the toilet paper all over their front yard, they knew that they were going to have a visit from the teenagers, and they were going to come visit, and they loved it. And yes, it brings a tear to my eye. Because it was some of the most special time I ever had. Because I've always been, I've always gone to the old folks' home. I've always had a great respect for the elderly and the older. But I was able, through doing that, to encourage the other young people my age to learn to appreciate visiting with a 70-year-old, 80-year-old little old lady who had great things to share. That's what this story is about. This is about people who have been there and done that. And I did some
exactly.
other things that were not really so bright when I was a kid. I mean, I did some mistakes. But I would have probably sat down and explained to Christian, you know, I've done some dumb things, but sometimes pranks will get you in trouble. This is a problem we've got to deal with. I have to punish you. I don't necessarily want to, but I have to, because I can't just let this go. I can't just let all of a sudden next year we've got 5 kids streaking. So we got to put a stop to this. As funny as you think it is, and I even think it's kind of funny, I even got a chuckle as I looked out there and saw that bare butt running across the field. But we need to call your parents, and we need to sit down with your parents, and we need to come up with a solution. And you're going to be suspended for a while. We're going to have to give you some kind of a suspension. Maybe you're going to have to write a 5 pages on consequences. because there are consequences. And as you get older, you're only 15 years old. And I know you don't fully understand the ramifications of things because you're 15. That's natural. When I was 15, I didn't understand the ramifications of everything either. But
oh, yeah.
You understand that these things, as you grow older, you got to be very careful before you do something because it can make a mess. And, you know, they don't want to see your really white butt running across the field. I know your friends thought it was funny, and I know the football team laughed and the cheerleaders laughed and some of the group laughed. But, you know, you're not supposed to go running around naked and showing your private parts to everybody in the whole wide world, even if it is just your really white butt. And we need to deal with this young man. And I want you to get your mom and dad on the phone. And I want you to get them down here and let's work this out. And then Christian's parents walk in the door and you have a little laugh because it is a prank that's gone on for generations. I mean, adults do this. Kids do this. I've even done this. Like I said, I did this in downtown San Diego. I could have really gotten in trouble. I was an adult at the time and I was in the city. The police would have arrested me. And Christian, if you do this as an adult, there is a chance you can get arrested for doing something like this. Parents come in and sit down, and you work it out, and the parents go, Christian, we raised you better than this. You're grounded, man. We're taking the Xbox. We're taking the computer. It's going to be a couple of months before you get them back because we want you to realize, yeah, this was a prank, but it was serious. Can't be doing this. Well, but all my friends... They told me to do it. They dared me. I understand that. I understand the position you're in. It's past. It's in the past. We can't go back and fix it. All we can do is go forward, and we need to take this as a learning experience. You need to learn out of this. You need to learn that there are certain things that you've got ramifications because when you become an adult, there are certain things you're going to do that might get you into some trouble. It might make you a problem. You know, when you're 21, 22 years old, you might take out a credit card and then you decide you don't want to pay the bill. You get some letters in the mail for debt collections and nothing really happens beyond that. But then when you're 30, you decide that you want to buy a house. And now you're dealing with the ramifications of what happened 7, 8 years ago when you didn't pay this bill. You got a ding on your record, or you know, maybe you get into a group of people and you decide you're going to do a little bit of fun vandalism at somebody's house, but they call the cops, and all of a sudden you've got an arrest record for something that was a practical joke. You got to be careful, Christian, as you go through this life. You got to be careful because there's ramifications. See, Michael Campbell, listen to me and listen to me good, young man, because you're a fool. That's what you should have done. That was the proper way. That was the correct way of handling the situation. You handled it the opposite of that. And we are going to make sure that that's the message that goes on in Alabama. It's not going to be muddled with your rants about how it wasn't just a prank. That was what you were supposed to tell Christian in your office quietly with his parents. That was not well, you were supposed to go out on the news media and talk about. You broke the confidentiality. And you broke the law when you did it. Because you're not allowed to go on the news media and talk about what's going on with specific students. You're not allowed to do that. You've broken the law there. Now, we might keep looking for a constitutional problem. But as far as just regular basic laws, you knew when you became the principal of the high school and you knew when you stood in front of that camera that you were doing the wrong thing. The wrong thing that you did was wronger, it was more wronger, was more wrong than what Christian did because you broke the confidentiality laws. You know, if a doctor came and stood out on the news media and said, Dan Wilson wants to run for office, but I can tell you, I've got his last 5 years. I've been his doctor, and I'm going to tell you, he's not in the best of health. I think you guys might want to think twice before you vote for him. That doctor would never even be allowed to hand away an aspirin again. Or your lawyer, Dan's lawyer, comes in and says, I've been Dan's lawyer for a long time. I can tell you all about his legal problems. See, Michael Campbell, you broke confidentiality laws, hugely broke confidentiality laws, and that's going to get you. And in fact, that's what's going to be the key to all this. At least in the Jared Markham case, the principal was smart enough to keep her mouth shut. As dumb as she was, and she was weak on the other end, just like you are, but at least she was smart enough to keep her mouth shut. You didn't, and we've got the video. And in case you're thinking of scrubbing that video, trying to have it scrubbed, hey, it's everywhere already. It ain't going to happen. There's five or six copies out there, and I got a copy on my computer. I already downloaded it. So that news thing that you did is going to be the key to this. And we're going to keep fighting and fighting because you didn't do the right thing. You did the wrong thing. You were a bad example to the students. You didn't show them the right way to handle things. You showed them the wrong way to handle things. You were a bad example to the people of Alabama. You didn't handle it correctly. You handled it the wrong way. But when it comes to the underlying and the character issues in it, not only did you break the law, but you showed bad character. Because what you did was narcissistic. When you stood in front of that camera and started making threats about what that boy had come facing him, you talked out of turn. You showed me, you know, the book of James and the New Testament says the tongue is a very powerful thing. You better learn to control it. You didn't learn to control your tongue. And you're going down. If there's a way, some way, somehow, to find a legal way to make you spend some jail time for this, we're doing it. We're doing it. We may never get that point. And just in case, and I want to share this last piece of little information, then I'll hand it back to Dan. But just in case you want to try and find a way to shut us up, number one, there's way too many of us. But number two, there is a judge in Hurley, Wisconsin, named Judge Patrick Madden, who has been trying to find a way to get me to shut up for 2 years now. And he can't do it. Because I got the freedom of speech. I got the freedom of speech. And if Judge Patrick Madden, and he's tried to get me to shut up. He's tried to get Stephen Williams to shut up. He's tried to get Bob to shut up. He's tried to get Stephanie to shut up. He tried to include us being quiet as part of a plea deal for the man that we fight for, Don Miller. He couldn't even accomplish that. So just in case you think that somehow, some way, this is going to go away, it's not going to go away. I was the California team state leader for Team Kane during the primaries. And with one email I sent out, it went out to 10,000 people in California. And, boy, they got motivated. They sent money, and we raised almost $100,000 one weekend. And it's the power of social media. Michael Campbell, you think you're a big fish in a little pond. But you're going to find out as this week goes on, as you get towards Friday, that you're really a little fish in a big pond. And you're going to find that out. Because whatever happened Friday in your office, and I can only imagine, like I say, I've seen it happen over and over and over. The phone's ringing off the hook. The fax machine's going crazy. Emails are being inundated. The websites, the Facebook, the Twitter, the school board, they're getting phone calls. It was an exasperating Friday for you, and it ain't nothing. Because Monday's going to be the same way, and Tuesday's going to be the same way, and Wednesday's going to be the same way, and we're going to keep going. So I'm going to call for your resignation again. Resign, effective immediately. Apologize. The resigning part's not the important part to me. The important part to me is if you would stand up in front of the news cameras and say, you know what, folks, I made a mistake. I blew it. I've got my nieces trained. Instead of fighting me on stuff, to just go, oh, all right, Uncle, I'm sorry. I blew it. Let's try and do better. And if I can train a 4-year-old, an 8-year-old, happy birthday, Millie. I'm having her birthday today. And an almost 12-year-old to do that. Then your immaturity or maturity will show us in the coming weeks how you handle this. If you do the right thing or if you do the wrong thing. If you want to dig in, you go grab your supporters and dig in, my friend. You grab your supporters and dig in, because you're going to find out your little tiny group of supporters are nothing next to Kim Bowen in Maryland, Kim Paris in Missouri, Scott Osborne in California. Oh, we haven't even mentioned Rodney Stanhope, Dan.
Rodney Stanhope, Rodney has in California.
I don't think, I think if I went up the road and started knocking on doors, do you know Rodney Stanhope? They'd say, oh, yeah, I know Rodney. Talk about a man who's covered up and down the state of California and knows Dana Orbacher and Tom McMillan and Connie Conway. And if I started to list them, oh, my goodness, we'd be here for the next 3 hours. Some of the people he's in good contact with. Chuck DeVore, Texas. Good friends with him. The message
he's
is going
to... He's in contact
to,
with everybody.
and we could continue on. We could continue on with some very important people who we've got contact with, and we're going to keep the story. We're going to be... This Blog Talk Radio show is going to help be the battery in that, along with some other words. What about the first blog? Cover this story, by the way. They already covered this story last week before it even hit Drudge. Blog Talk was covering this. I don't know why it took so long to get to me. Generally, I'm right on top of stuff like this, but I didn't see it until Friday morning. But I tell you, I'm going to tell you what. My oldest niece just left, and I walked in the door, and she says, "What did somebody do now, Uncle?" So I took her over to the computer, and I opened up to the article on the Telegraph, and I let her read it. And you know what her comment was, Dan? And I'll pass it back
what?
To you. She said, "Uh-oh, they honked off the uncle." She knows, man. She's been here for a zillion Blog Talk Radio shows. She was here for Jared Markham. She was here for Herman Cain. She was here for Dan Hughes. She was here for Zach Poskovich. She was here for Ted Cruz. Yeah, I helped on that one, too. Michael Gamble, you've probably heard of Ted Cruz. Yeah, I got contact with him, too. Rick Perry in Texas, the governor of Texas. I can have him on the phone tomorrow. In fact, had his best guy on the phone last week, trying to get him to come back on Blog Talk Radio. He's really, really busy right now, and we're going to have him on the radio here soon. But
to say that Rodney's one of our co-hosts, too.
That's right. And Rodney's new show on Monday nights, we want to remember to mention that at 7 o'clock here on California time on Blog Talk Radio. Rodney's doing a show about California politics, and he's got some great guests lined up. And this is what it's all about. This is our freedom of speech. At the top, if you go to the top of, if you're listening on the internet right now, if you go up there and you look at the top, I've got a part of our Constitution right there talking about the freedom of speech, the First Amendment. And I've got the freedom to stand here, and I've got the freedom to say, you're a moron, you dude. And I'm not going to call you a moron, though. I'm going to call you inept. I'm going to call you weak. I'm going to call you immature. I'm going to call you a criminal. I'm going to say that you've got blood on your hands. I'm going to call you everything in the book that applies. I don't even have to call you a moron, but you are. You're a moron. Pass it back to you, Dan.
Well, sorry for my earlier rant. I get very upset when a child dies. It really, really bothers me. How old is this guy? I mean...
15. Oh, or you mean the principal?
Yeah, the idiot.
You know, he looks to me to be is somewhere in his 50s. He looked older than I am, and I'm in my mid-40s. I would say he's somewhere in his mid to late 50s.
So he's in my age group.
And he should know better.
Oh, God, he should know better. Yeah, we've been, I mean, that means he went to school the same time I did. I remember the streaking and, you know, we did a lot of things back then when we were in college. I mean, I remember when the movie Animal House came out, and us trying our best to be to use a Delta House as a model, and our fraternity was on academic probation for doing worse than what that poor little child did. And so you knew, and I'm sure you were involved with it because all of us were. That was just part of being in college. And we all had a ball, and we all laughed and had fun. And we went on to create and become, well, most of us did, went on to become productive, good human beings, with the exception of people like you. I used to meet people like you in debating class, and, you know, when we went to competitions, and I used to laugh at you because I just wait until your own narcissism hung itself. It was really simple. You're so into yourself, you end up hanging yourself. And this is exactly what you just did. You didn't think things through. What did you do? You have no one to blame but yourself. And I promise you, by the time we're done with you, we're a tenacious little group. As Scott said, we started out with Herman Cain, and we did the impossible with him. If you're on our good side, you have it made, because you'll have so much support in the world. Don't cross us. So if you're on our bad side, Scott forgot to mention the rally we had for Jared and how many people showed up in that little town. How many thousands. And it was because of us and, you know, Blog Talk Radio. We had them coming out of the woodworks. Guess what? There's going to be a repeat. And Sweet Home Alabama, we're going to all be coming home. And you're going to see a lot of people. He's going to be demanding your hide. And if I was in better health, I'd be one of them. Because, you know something, I would, oh, God, pay to see you face to face. And I wouldn't give you the anything to try to press charges, because I'm a pacifist. But my tongue could be a martial artist. And, sir, I could rip you apart with my mouth. And,
Dan, I think both of our tongues are registered, aren't they, as a lethal weapon?
Exactly. Scott knows. Scott has seen me on a roll. I've seen Scott on a roll. And when you cross us, I mean, yeah.
We keep on keeping on. You know, there's another one we didn't mention. We mentioned Kim Paris. We didn't mention D-Rock Country. D-Rock Country, the country music artist, I'm telling you, he wrote the song Keep On Keeping On, and that's what we do. And we're not going to quit. We're not doing this today to fill up airspace. We're doing this today to lay the groundwork for the next few months of the message that we're going to put out. This is just a tiny little piece. We're going to keep on keeping on, Dan.
No, yeah, actually, I wanted to talk about the Obama cutting off the death benefits, but this is more important right now because we have a murderer that is supposed to be in academia. He's supposed to be a model for his students. And God, we need to get him out before he does any more harm to any more children, because he is just a total disgrace. And sir, I grew up with PhDs. Scott will tell you my father is one of the most brilliant men I've ever met. And I sit down with his team of seven other professors, and I can hold up and actually beat anyone I choose, if I choose to go after. So, I mean, you're a clown. You're a joke to me, so I don't even worry about that. I was a research assistant when I was 12 years old. I mean, you have nothing over me. So I would love to have that chance. I know I'm not going to get it, but I would love it. But I know, you know, Scott will be right there. And look at what happened with Jared. All charges were dropped. The police department got in trouble, which if the police department doesn't press charges against you, they're gonna be part of the our list, because they're gonna have to press charges against you for your violations. And the school board is also gonna be attacked, and I'll tell you, we're gonna go at you from every angle we can find, and you're gonna have it coming from every angle. So you might as well resign and crawl into your hole, because that's your only salvation. People like you, right?
Right. That's right. And, you know, Ben, we're coming up on the top of the hour, and I've got three people pulling at me, so we got to start winding this up. We're getting ready to have a great big birthday party here today. And, you know, that's what this all comes down to, Dan, because this affects me. We're moving to Texas, and I'll try my hardest not to play the Dallas theme song again. We're moving to Texas for one reason and one reason only, and that's because the state of California has decided things like they want to take full control, let the federal government have full control of our education system. They, in fact, have passed an insane law that little boys, if they think they're a little girl, they can go into the little girls' bathrooms unhindered. There's some insanity going on. We're making this move for one reason, and that is a four-year-old that reads at third grade reading level. Did I mention that? A 7-year-old, she turned 8, and an 11-year-old. We're moving for those kids and their future. And what you've done, Michael Campbell, sets a precedence for the nation. What you've done is you've said it's okay in a situation that should be between the student, the parents, and the school. And it's okay to make it a situation between the school, the authority, and the student, leaving the parents out. You've set the precedent that it's okay to go on the media and make derogatory statements about this child's future and to threaten that child. You've set a precedent that it's okay to get on the news media and gloat and use a misfortune try and make yourself look stronger, and you only do that when you're weak. Like I said, a peacock only shows his feathers when he's afraid or when he's horny. But that's another story. You've set a precedent. And see, this is what we fight. This is why our Tuesday show is called Parental Sovereignty Radio. Because the parents of this country are in the process of taking back our schools. And it's going on all over the place. I saw C-Scope in Texas fall faster than a pancake off the griddle. I watched it, was involved in it, in connection with Orlean Coley and Eagle Forum and the many people across the country that are fighting this. Like I said, I'm an admin to a group of, we've worked ourselves up to almost 8,000, 7,000, 8,000, I have to look, parents and educators, superintendents, principals, teachers, librarians, all across the nation, parents that are concerned. These groups of people are taking notice, and this stuff is not acceptable. Michael Campbell, no. When it all comes down to it, you can make your argument all you want. You took the wrong steps of protocol. You didn't set the right example. You did not. The first thing, your first job is to encourage. These are young minds that you're trying to help prepare for life. You're supposed to be encouraging them, not beating them down. And you beat them down. And we are, Dan, I'm going to pass it to you for your final thoughts, and then I'll let you introduce Red Skelton, and we'll go ahead and close out the show, because I've got somebody pulling at me right now saying, I need you now.
Okay, I'll keep it short.
I'll let you give your final rant, and we will be talking about this Tuesday on Parental Sovereignty Radio. We will be talking about this on Thursday on Free Don Miller. We're going to be talking, I'll mention this on the IRP6. That's another one, Dan. We've got a Just Cause that gets involved. They got a lot of connections, and they're bigger than Don Miller. We're going to talk about this on the Don Miller Show. I'm going to call in this week and talk to Bob. On News Talker Radio, reaches 1.5 million listeners every single month. We're going to talk about this on News Talker Radio. I'm going to work on this on you. You know, you mentioned a while ago a great friend of mine, Wayne Dupree, and his radio show on 405.com. Incredible man. He was there at Jared Markham. He was there with Jared Markham. He was there at that rally. And we've got all kinds of connections, and this next week is going to be about getting the word out. This next week is about framing the message. Jared Markham is in the process of suing the Logan School District, suing Logan Middle School.
And it
was. What's going to be next? I pass it back to you, Dan, and then I'll let you introduce our good friend Red.
Okay, it's Michael, you may want to listen to this. You may want to listen to something that you were old enough when this came out to remember it. But obviously it went through one ear and went out the other because it didn't stop long enough to even rattle that piece of gray matter in between your head, your ears. I'm not going to call it a brain because it's not. But you may want to learn something from this. It's from the great Red Skelton, and it was done in 1969. And right in the heart when we were both Hellraisers, and you may want to remember your own childhood before you start doing crap like you did before, because we're going to find out. I promise you, we'll find out what you did, and we'll make sure the world knows about it. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to one of my heroes and one of my greatest skits. One of the greatest skits of all time.
I remember a teacher that I had. Now, I went through the seventh grade. I left home when I was 10 years old because I was hungry. I work in the summer and I go to school in the winter. But I had this one teacher. It was the principal of the Harrison School in Vincennes, Indiana. To me, this was the greatest teacher, a real sage of my time, anyhow. He had such wisdom. And we were all reciting the Pledge of Allegiance one day. And he walked over, this little teacher, Mr. Laswell was his name. Mr. Laswell, he says, I've been listening to you boys and girls recite the Pledge of Allegiance all semester, and it seems as though it's becoming monotonous to you. If I may I recite it and try to explain to you the meaning of each word? I, me, an individual, a committee of one, pledge, dedicate all of my worldly goods to give without self-pity, allegiance, my love and my devotion, to the flag, our standard, O glory, a symbol of freedom, wherever she waves, there's respect, because your loyalty has given her a dignity that shouts, freedom is everybody's job. United. That means that we have all come together. States. Individual communities that have united into 48 great states. 48 individual communities with pride and dignity and purpose. All divided with imaginary boundaries, yet united to a common purpose, and that's love for country. And to the Republic, a state in which sovereign power is invested in representatives chosen by the people to govern. And government is the people, and it's from the people to the leaders, not from the leaders to the people, for which it stands. One nation, meaning so blessed by God, indivisible, incapable of being divided, with liberty, which is freedom, the right of power to live one's own life without threats, fear, or some sort of retaliation, and justice, the principle or qualities of dealing fairly with others. For all. Which means, boys and girls, it's as much your country as it is mine. And now, boys and girls, let me hear you recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Since I was a small boy, two states have been added to our country, and two words have been added to the Pledge of Allegiance, under God. Wouldn't it be a pity if someone said that is a prayer, and that would be eliminated from schools, too?